Aha, cool, sweet. So, for those of you who do not know who's speaking today, we have the lovely Nathan Taylor. The lovely, amazing Nathan Taylor. If you have not heard him speak before, he's crazy. He always has crazy revelations, so just be ready, hold tight. It's going to be an awesome ride. Yeah, I don't know any crazy stories I could tell about you. He's that exciting. The crazy. Do you have a crazy story? Yeah, but I don't want one about me. I want one about you. I don't know. He was crazy and almost cut off his finger with a saw, but Jesus healed it, which was really cool. Pardon? Tell the story. Oh, he was cutting a piece of wood, and it jigged back in the saw, and so his finger went in the saw instead of the wood. So it's got a pretty cool scar now, but it's still intact, and it has feeling and movement, which the doctors said wouldn't happen because Jesus is awesome.
Yes, he is. Actually, they said I was really lucky because it cut through my bone, but it didn't cut through my tendon. And if you don't know, bone is harder than flesh, so that was kind of cool. And bones heal, and tenets don't. They go all the way back into your thing, and then you got to pull them out with a tweezer. It's gross. All of those of you that are visual learners, you're welcome for that picture. But it is a cool... I'm going to be speaking tonight on faith, and that was a cool story. I'll tell you that's the end of the story of how God healed me in that. Obviously, my finger hurt a lot because, you know, you put it in a saw and it hurts. And this is too close. And I was crying out to God because they give you like the T3s and they load them with caffeine and you take them for the pain, but that means you can't sleep, right? Because you got all the caffeine in the pills. So I went to the doctor and I was like, I want something without caffeine in it. But I guess I looked really sketchy that day. And he kind of like thought I was just there to get like drugs. And he's like, he walked out on me. And I was like, that is rude. And then I had to forgive him. Took a while, actually, to forgive him. Because my finger really hurt. But I went home, and I said to God, I said, you know what, God, I don't want to take any more of these pills. And I know that you can heal. And I'm not going to take any more of these pills. I just want you to take the pain from me. And at that point, it was, like, unbearable. I was just, like, sitting on the couch going, ow! And then within 15 minutes of me praying that prayer, it was kind of like peace came, and then I felt the pain just kind of lift off, not like completely like healed in an instant, but the pain went from a point where I was like sitting on the couch going to like I could just go on with the rest of my day without having any real struggle and without having to take another like any T3s or any Tylenol at all. So it was hard to play PlayStation with them. So thanks, Jen, for that story. So I'm going to talk about faith today. A little bit kind of can sound elementary, I guess would be the word. You know, you've been a Christian for a while. Oh, he's going to talk about faith. Great. But I'm actually really excited because God really started to unload some stuff for me, like totally changed my perspective on what I thought faith was. But why don't we pray before I get into it? So, Father, I just thank you for everything that you've shown me. And if nobody gets anything from it, Lord, I just thank you that you showed me. And, Lord, I just thank you. No, seriously, Lord, I just thank you that you're here with us, Lord. I thank you that you're continually speaking to our hearts and just revealing yourself to us, Lord, that we would dive deeper into relationship with you, God, because that's what we're really after here, is you, God. We want everyone in here to know you and everyone out there to know you, Lord. That's what we want. So, amen. All right, I need a drink. My mouth goes really pasty really quick when I get behind a mic. It's not an energy drink. It's a vitamin drink. I got it from Jackie and Jason. It's all right. All right, I'm going to start off with probably the most famous verse about faith. You know, if somebody asks you about faith, you probably think of Hebrews 11, which is, you know, the quintessential faith verse because it kind of explains faith a little bit. It says in Hebrews 11, 1, if you want to turn there. If not, it's all right. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And it goes on to talk about Abraham a little bit, or Abel, and Abraham later. But in verse 6, it says, right after that, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, being God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And it's kind of a simple definition of faith, but it doesn't really dive real deep into what it is. And then it kind of gets followed up by this really convicting verse in verse 6 where it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it's like, we all know that faith is this really important thing, but what is it? You know, it says, in another place in the Bible, it says, whatever is not faith is sin. And, you know, faith is the only word that's talked about like that in the Bible, where it says, without it, you can't please God. And if you don't have it, you're in sin. So faith is pretty important to understand. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what faith isn't to start. Faith is not just believing. Believing is a part of faith, but it is not actually the basis of what faith is. And that kind of, when I started reading into it, that kind of shook my thinking a little bit, because I've always been under the impression that faith is just like something you're like, you know, I have faith to see that person healed. So it's like, I'm going to believe that they'll be healed and then they're going to get healed. But faith is so much more than just believing. Faith is also, it is not just a feeling. I've heard faith described in a way as like when all kinds of circumstances coming against you, you just have to trust in that feeling that God is there for you. Faith is a lot more than just a feeling. Faith is not just knowing. It's been an impression to me sometimes. It's like, if I know God's going to be there for me, then I have the faith and I'm going to see it happen. But it's a lot more than just knowing. All of these things are part of faith, but they're not what faith is made of. The dictionary.com defines faith, I would say, as loyalty or allegiance to a cause or a person, a strong belief in a supernatural power or powers that control human destiny. And this is the scary one. An institution to express belief in a design power or in a divine power. And I was reading those. I was like, God told me to speak on faith. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that. And I read those definitions because God said, I want you to look at the definition of what faith is. And I was kind of like, to God after reading that, I was like, that's not very deep. And actually, the one about being an institution is kind of scary. You know, everything about our Christian walk is supposed to be based on faith, and they're calling it an institution in the dictionary there. I was thinking, God, it's got to be deeper than that. So I did something I've never really done before. I've heard it done before. And so I went back to the original Greek. And this is what really blew me away as I started to ask God to show me what faith is. So faith, as we know it, the word faith as we know it now, comes from the Greek word I'm going to say it wrong, but forgive me. Pistis. from the root word of pytho. Anyway, so I'm going to call it pistis. Which, it's spelled P-I-S-T-I-S. I don't know how else to say it. Pistis is probably, you know, if you had a Greek. Moving on. Anyways, pistis is defined as being persuaded. It is to be persuaded. It is both past tense and continual in the way it's used in the Bible. It's saying that you have been persuaded and you are being persuaded. So it kind of it struck me right there. God, and then God started to start speaking to me on what it actually means to have faith. And I'll start reading some more of the definition it got here. You know, some of this is my revelation, some of it is Strong's, and it's Strong revelation. Faith is always a gift from God and never something that can be produced by people. I was like, wow, I try to produce faith all the time. And it's something that is always a gift from God and never something that can be produced by people. In short, pistis, faith, for the believer is God's divine persuasion and therefore distinct from human belief and confidence, yet it involves human belief and confidence. The Lord continuously births faith in the yielded believer so that they can know what he prefers. And I stepped back from reading that and I just went, okay, God, it's something that I cannot come up with. So how do we come up with faith? Because faith is throughout the entire Bible. Paul talks about faith a lot. He talks to Timothy and he says, fight the good fight of faith. And so it's obviously something that you can fight for in your life. It's obviously something that you can contend for to get it in your life. So how do we get it in our life? Continue reading some of the definition. Faith is God's warranty that guarantees the fulfillment of the revelation he births within the receptive believer. Let's say it again. Faith is God's warranty that guarantees the fulfillment of the revelation he births within the receptive believer. I'm gonna reread it a little bit. Faith is God's warranty. So faith is God's, you know, that guaranteed ticket that says this is going to happen to the revelation that he births in you. So when God says something to your heart, faith is the warranty that that is going to happen. When God says to your heart that you are a new creation, that you are totally made pure in his blood, just as we were talking about communion today, faith is his warranty, his guarantee that what he just told you is the truth. Faith is always received from God and never generated by us. And that kind of was like, okay, God, I can understand this, but what does that mean? How can it always be a gift from you? How am I supposed to fight a good fight of faith? How am I supposed to generate faith inside of me if it's just a gift from you? And I started thinking about the word persuasion. How do you become persuaded? You know, if this is a very bad example of God, but it's a practical example in the world. I've got this used car It's a beautiful used car. It's a 1992 Ford Focus, all cloth seats, you know. Everything's broken on it. I'm going to persuade you that this is the best car in the world. I have to come up with a really good reason. I have to come up with a really good story to tell you that you need to buy this car. You know, that's what persuasion is. It is the reason why you should believe in someone. In order to be persuaded, somebody has to list the reasons of why you should believe them. And I just sat back, started letting God talk to me. He's like, it is impossible to believe that what he says in the word, that what he says in our life is true unless he speaks it to us directly. Unless we have the revelation to understand that what he is telling us is totally the truth. We can't enter into faith, say we're standing for healing in someone's life or we're standing for finances. We can't enter in to faith that it's going to be done unless he bursts in us the conviction, the convincing that it is actually going to happen. You know, when you lay a hand on somebody, you need that spirit of convincing, that spirit of truth that they're going to be healed before they're healed. Because without that, you don't have faith for it to happen. You're just kind of wishing for the best, which I guess is where it's the substance of things hoped for. Faith enables the believer to know God's preferred will. Accordingly, faith and God's preferred will are directly connected in Scripture. There's a bunch of examples. I'll just read them out. You can look them out later if you want. Romans 12, 2 and 3. 2 Corinthians 8, 5 and 7. And Hebrews 10, 36, 38. It's impossible to know what God wants of us unless we are open to hearing what God wants of us. It says that deeds without faith is dead and faith without works is dead, is what I should say. It's impossible to operate in faith without knowing that God wants something from us. It's impossible, just like it says, it is impossible to please him without knowing that he wants us to know him. It's impossible to work for him in a way that's pleasing to him without knowing who he is and what he wants from us. For whatever is born from God conquers the world. And this is the conquest that has conquered the world, our faith. All the things that we face in this world, all of the sin, all of the discouragement, all of the lies that come against us cannot be conquered without hearing God's word in our life, without knowing the truth about our circumstances, knowing the truth about that person's health that you're standing for, knowing the circumstance, his truth about your circumstances and your finances and your family. It is impossible to conquer them until you first step into faith of knowing his truth in that situation. And the truth is that that person is healed by the blood of Christ. It is healed by the stripes of Christ. That you are under the blessing in your family and in your finances because of what Christ has brought you into. The blessing of Abraham. The blessing of the chosen people because of what God has done for you. It is the revelation of the persuasion of who he is that overcomes the world. You know, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done for us that overcomes those circumstances in our world. How do you get to know who a person is but other than talking to them? If I want to get to know Sue, I have to go over to Sue's house and I have to sit down and have some tea because I need to get to know her. If I want to if I want to know Jen, I have to sit down and talk to Jen. That's the only way to really know who a person is. And that's the same that it is with God. There's only one way to really know who God is in your life and in the lives of the people that you're standing for. And that is to sit down and be like, God, who are you? What is your heart towards me? What is your heart towards these people in my life? What is your heart towards my family? What do you want from us? Where are you leading us? Faith is always the work of God and involves hearing his voice, whereby the believer lays hold of his preferred will. I'm going to say it again. Faith is always the work of God and involves hearing his voice, whereby the believer lays hold of his preferred will. I'll give you a little bit of scripture for that because that really hit me. I want to go to Romans 10:17. And it says right there, it's a great faith verse, another really famous one. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith is this gift of God. It is this supernatural encounter with him, whereas he puts an unexplained belief, an unexplained feeling, an unexplained exchange in us. And the only way to realize the gift that he's placed within us is to listen to the words that he's telling us about that gift. You know, John has an amazing gift to be a pastor. He does a wonderful job at connecting with people, a lot better than I could ever imagine and doing myself. And he's only been able to realize that gift in his life because he's listened to what God's saying about that gift in his life. God called him out when he didn't want to be a pastor and told him he was going to be a pastor. And he started to listen to God and listen to God's heart on that issue. And God started to transform him. In the same way in my life, you know, I had this huge anger towards God because of some of the things that had happened in my life when I was young. Just quickly, the quick version of the story is I confused what God said to do for God's heart towards me. He told us to move to the Caribbean for good reason. And I got hurt down there, but I thought that because I was getting hurt by people, that was his heart towards me, that he was going to hurt me if I trusted him. And I developed an anger. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm going to go down there. And I developed this anger towards him because my experience was with him was that he only cared about what he had, what his will was and stuff. And faith wasn't present in there because I wasn't listening to what he was saying. I wasn't listening to the reasons why he brought us down to this, down south. I wasn't listening to the reasons why he separated me from the group of friends that I was in. And it was only until I allowed my heart to be open to him speaking to it that I stepped back into faith. That I stepped back into believing that he was good, that I stepped back into believing that he would love me because he began to speak his truth to my heart. So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. We need to hear his voice in every circumstance in our life, every situation in our life, or else we won't know what his preferred will is for that situation. The verse, if any of you have taken the Mark Verkler course, Hearing God's Voice, the verse for hearing God's voice is, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he speaks to me. This is out of Habakkuk 2:1. And it goes on to say, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. But the righteous will live in his faith. When I was in that anger, when I was in that hate towards God for where he brought me, I was in pride. And it says, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not within him. Pride is one of the big things that stop faith from operating in our life. And how it does that is it's putting our belief and knowing what we know inside of our head, what we've experienced, to be the truth about God, instead of going to him to know the truth about God. You know, I've been rejected, therefore I can't trust people. Therefore, my faith level is that I can't trust people. Because that's what I'm thinking on. I'm thinking about just what I've gone through and what I think. Instead of if I've gone to God and said, God, I felt rejected today. What is the truth about who I am? And that is that God is bringing in people into my life that I can trust, that I can rely on, that I am no longer rejected in him. In Scripture, faith and belief are not exactly the same. Faith always comes from God and involves his revelation. Therefore, faith is beyond belief. Let me say that again. Faith always comes from God and involves his revelation. Therefore, faith is beyond belief. It's not just us going, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. It's God going, you can believe, and this is why. You can trust, and this is why. It's faith is more the reaction of your heart than it is actually a thought process or something that you can write down and, you know, hold yourself to. It's the reaction of your heart towards what God's telling you. If you're standing with someone, I'm standing, it's actually 7 months today that I'm celebrating with my girlfriend. I never thought I'd be celebrating months, but as I get to know her, I like celebrating months now. Happy Monniversary is what I bugged my brother about. Because it's not really an anniversary, because Anna comes from like Greek or something, meaning word or year. Anyways, for those of you that know Lindsay, she struggles with epilepsy. It's not a part of who she is, but it's her fight in life that she has. And, you know, as I stand with Lindsay to believe for her healing, sometimes my heart hurts for her, wanting to see her healed. And yesterday, she just asked me to pray for her. She was going on the bus, and she was feeling just some things work up in her body. And, you know, if she enters into stress, sometimes it can act up. And she said, just pray for me. And I got a text from her, and I started praying for her. And I said, God, I just, you know, I pray against the epilepsy in her life, and I just declare truth and all that stuff. I started praying it. And then the reaction of my heart at the beginning was, what if my prayers don't work? And what if she has a seizure on the bus? I'm really scared now. And I was entering into that. And since I've been reading all of this stuff, God just spoke to me instantly in a second. He said, Nathan, what is the reaction of your heart right now? It's not in faith. And then I said, God, I need your faith. And he began to go, this is how he began to teach me to work it up. He said, Nathan, I'm the good father. I am the faithful one. You know, I had this picture in my mind that my prayers weren't going to work because he didn't hear me, and she was going to have a seizure on the bus. But then he said, I am the faithful one. I am the good father. Is that who I am to Lindsay? Is that who I am to you? am I the father that would allow her, you know, to be in that place? No, that's not who I am. And instantly when he said that, all those pictures of fear and all those thoughts of unbelief just left, because I was standing on the foundation of God is the good father. He is the faithful one. So I don't need to convince myself that he's going to do something, because that's who he is. And it just hit me there. It's like, that's what faith is. It is knowing who God is and then basing everything you think, everything you feel, everything you say off of who he is. That is the gift of faith. The gift of faith is him revealing who he is to us. That's why it goes on to say, faith is God's work. It is never the work of people. We cannot produce faith ourselves, nor can we drum it up at will. Rather, faith comes as Christ speaks his rhema word. That's where it goes back to Romans 17. It comes from here. In all scripture, only the term faith is ever used in the following way. Whatever is not faith is sin. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who seek him. My reward yesterday, she had a great day. You know, her epilepsy left her on the bus and she had peace the rest of the day, because I stood on the fact that I knew who he was, and he rewards me because I know him. Amen. Good word. Faith precedes works, and it is not something merely deduced by reason of existing. Faith is always a gift of God. The basis of faith is God's revelation of himself. We can't step into faith by nearly deducing who God is, or really nearly deducing what we know about God, I should say. I'm one to do this a lot. You know, I fall and I sin and I feel condemnation or something come on me, and I go, okay, I know that God loves me, and it doesn't really matter that I sin, because I can step back in, but I'm deducing it. I'm trying to produce a belief in myself that I'm not reacting to in my heart. Basis of faith is God's revelation of himself. The basis of me stepping back into love and out of condemnation is again stepping back to him and letting him reveal himself to you, to me, to you as well. So what does faith look like practically in our life? What does it look like in the light of our true life experiences? How do we step into being a people of faith? Good question. I wish I knew the answer. It's going to God. It's simply going to God and telling them, to being honest about where you're at and what's going on in here. Just as I did yesterday. I told God, I need your faith for the search. For the circumstance in finances, God, my bank account looks terrible right now. It absolutely looks terrible. And you can pray about it and speak out the promises, which are all great things to do, because they remind ourselves who God is. You know, that's why worship is so important in our life, is because it reminds our heart of who God is. And as we declare it, it starts to drum up in ourselves, which is a good thing, and God is able to impart it into us because our walls come down. But true faith is going to him and going, God, I'm really discouraged about my finances right now. I need your faith. I need you to tell me who you are. I need you to show me who you are for my bank account. And that is that he'll begin to speak to you. Nathan, John, you know, Olivia, God is the provider of your finances. He takes care of every cent that goes in there and every cent that goes out of there. He knows where they're going and where they should be going, and if they're not going to the right place, he can give you wisdom to change where they're going. And it's as we begin to approach him and we get that relationship, that honest back and forth, the result of faith is trust. I broke down with John the other day. I slip into wanting everything to be perfect in my life sometimes. Don't we all? And I was saying to John, I was like, I just really want everything to be perfect because then I'll know that it's God's will in my life for everything to happen that's happening and all this stuff. And I've been praying and I've been trying to give it to him and all this stuff. And John goes, you know, you just told me an ungodly belief. I said, maybe I did. He said, do you want to pray against that ungodly belief in your life? And the ungodly belief was that everything has to be perfect or else it's not God's will. And as I prayed that, I said, God, I break agreement that everything has to be perfect. I lay it down. I say things can be imperfect. And God began to speak truth into me. He says, Nathan, in the midst of your imperfectness, you can trust me that my will is being operated in your life. And I was a little taken back because we were just hanging out. We were supposed to talk a little bit about this. And I start, like, crying because I started realizing I cry a lot. I'm a guy that cries. Thanks. It took a long time for me to get to that place, but I'm there. But I just got caught off guard realizing how far away from trust I was. How far away from faith I was, because I was thinking everything has to line up the way I want it to be, and then I'll know it's God's will. That doesn't even make sense. It's got to be my way, and then it's God's will. Faith always has the element of assurance, certainty, and confidence, and eventually evidential value, sustaining the thing we hope for. With faith, there is no strain or tension. Rather, it has the element of assurance and confidence in it. If there is strain or tension, trying to persuade yourself to keep from doubting, you can be quite sure that it is not faith. Faith is not the law of mathematical probability. Faith is not natural. Faith is spiritual, and it is the gift of God. You cannot command faith at will. Faith is always something that is given in right by God. Therefore, if you want to be a man of faith, it'll always be the result of becoming a certain type of person. What is that type of person? If you want that, it's really good. I can show you where to get it. That wasn't all me. But what is that type of person? It's a person of relationship. Jesus was the greatest example of faith on this earth. What did he have? He had that relationship. In Matthew 5, He commends the centurion for his great faith. I'll just read it quickly. Matthew 8, sorry. And when he entered, it's Matthew 8, 5. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is laying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, this is Jesus, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me, And I say to one, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you that no one in Israel I have found such faith. What was the faith that Jesus saw? It was that centurion knew who Jesus was. He knew that he had authority. It wasn't the faith so far that I believe he's going to be healed. No, it's I know who you are, Jesus. I know you have the authority to heal my servant. So just say it and it'll be done. And that's how we become that type of person, knowing who God is, allowing him to speak to us so that when there's a situation, when there's a mountain in front of us, we know who God is, and that is that he's greater than the mountain, that he's greater than the sickness, he's greater than the financial strain, he's greater than the fact that our brothers and our sisters, our sons or daughters are not walking with him. He's greater than that circumstance because he is healer. He is provider. He is the good shepherd that goes out after the lost sheep. That's who he is. And as we begin to know who he is, faith comes alive in us. A person's belief is vital, but a person's encounter with Christ, a true connection with him and his word, is always necessary for believing. Man's responsibility to be transformed into faith, which is always and only God's word. Believing is a part, like I said, it's not, faith isn't just believing, but it is a part of faith. Believing is a part of faith. But believing is only ever, it only ever becomes faith when we enter into relationship and find out who God is. Because then our belief is out of the fact that we know who God is. I'm gonna skip that. Faith involves belief, but it goes beyond human believing because it involves the personal revelation, the inworking of God. Faith is always God's work. Our believing has an internal meaning when it becomes faith believing by the transforming grace of God. Our believing becomes God's believing, becomes his gift when we enter into the fact that we need him to believe in it. We need God to believe for healing. We need God to believe for our finances. We need God to believe for everything. When we realize that we need him, our believing becomes that strength in our faith. Let me do it on time. Pretty good. So Jesus, I'm going to talk about Jesus in a second. Now that we know that faith is that persuasion, is that gift of God, I want to reread Hebrews 11, that famous faith verse. And I want to reread it in the light of what we can now understand faith to be. So it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. So if we replace faith with all of that meat, now the persuasion of who God is telling you he is, that is the assurance of things hoped for. Who God is the assurance of things hoped for. You are hoping for healing in your life. God is the assurance of that healing. God is the conviction of those things not seen in your life. Who he is the conviction of seeing your friends come to know God. Because he is the one that is calling them. He wants them to be part of your family, his family. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Without knowing that he is who he says he is, it's impossible to please him. Without knowing that he loves us, it's impossible to love him back because we don't know he loves us. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. I just, when I read that in the light of all of that revelation, it kind of took a weight off of me. Because I had envisioned faith as something that I needed to be strong in. That I needed to come up with it myself. I needed to drum up faith in myself. And therefore, if my faith was good, I was pleasing God. But the truth of that statement is, as he reveals himself to you, then you are able to please him. And it takes that weight off of our shoulders of like, this is my responsibility. It's God's responsibility. It's our responsibility to open ourselves up to him, allow God to come in past our walls, everything that we're rejecting him with. But once we remove that stuff and he begins to speak to us, then it becomes his responsibility to please him. He's kind of self-pleasing in a way, I guess. It works in a wonderful partnership. I was joking with God. I said, God, I'd love it if you just came back and you would just start preaching the message. It'd be better than anything I could say. And God said to me, he's like, well, then I wouldn't get to hear you talk. it's a divine partnership. In a way, he's pleasing himself in us. But he wouldn't have it any other way. He doesn't want to be by himself. He wants to see his spirit and work in us somehow. It pleases, like it boggles the mind to think about how him in us pleases him. But somehow it does. And I think it's just a freedom in knowing that, because it takes a weight off of our shoulders. But at the same time, it brings us into a relationship. It brings us into his heart. So when we don't know how to discover faith, where do we start? You know, this kind of been a message for those that have entered into relationship with God, that have known God. But how do we start a journey on faith? And like I've said, Jesus was the example of great faith on earth. He was the standard by which we're all supposed to live. He's what we are striving to be, that we are longing to be. So our journey in discovering faith and what it is begins with learning who Christ is, learning how he lived his life. And it goes beyond just knowledge and theology. It goes into a personal relationship, that personal exchange that he starts. And there's only one real way to approach Jesus, and that is, Jesus, I accept you in me. I accept that I need you in me. That's the start of faith. I accept that I need you in me. That I can't live this life the way that you want me to live it without you in me. And that's really the first step. That's the first thing in relationship with Jesus, is inviting him in. You know, you get the altar calls and you say, who wants to invite Jesus into their life tonight? That's where it starts. I'm going to leave it at this, and then we'll do a little bit of ministry. Jesus is the greatest example of faith, not because he believed in God like no one else. It is because he knew God like no one else. Let me say it again. Jesus is the greatest example of faith, not because he believed God like no one else. It's because he knew God like no one else. So why don't you stand with me? You guys are all really quiet. I hope that's because I was good. Or God was good. So going back to that first step, it doesn't matter where we are on our walk with faith, whether or not we feel like we're really strong or we're really low. The first step is always even the last step. It's the only step. So why don't we invite God to begin? Why don't we invite God to enter into our hearts again? Why don't you guys just repeat after me? God, I accept the fact that I can't drum up faith. I need you in me to be faith. Doesn't that feel good to say, guys? It feels good to me. God, I accept that I need you. Would you begin to reveal who you are for me? And just as Bruce plays a bit, just picture that thing you've been standing for, that thing you've been trying to convince yourself that God is going to come through in. Allow him to just begin to show you who he is for that circumstance, for that situation. For some of you, you know, it is your finances. You do, like me, look at the finances sometime and you go, God, where's it going to come from? When you just allow God to begin to tell you that he is provider. My son, my daughter, I am provider. I do have giant storehouses of heavenly currency, which is a lot stronger in this economy, just so you know. For those of us that are standing, believing for healing, just allow him to speak to you. My son, my daughter, I am healer. Two thousand plus, that centurion came to Jesus because he knew he was healer. He knew he was the one with authority. He is still the one with authority. And for those of you that are standing for belief in your personal relationship with God, saying, this sounds great, but I don't know his voice yet. I bring this situation before him and time again, but I can't seem to hear his voice. He's saying to you guys tonight, I do love you. My son, my daughter, I love you more than you could ever know. And I long, I ache to be in conversation with you. And that's the truth, guys. He aches. He has a pain. You know that pain sometimes you get in your heart when you just really want something off your chest? That's that aching that God has intensified probably by like a zillion of how much he wants to show himself to you. And as I was talking earlier about just coming, sometimes I find myself in condemnation, and sometimes I find myself in separation from God. And I try to drum up something in me like, God, I know you love me. I know you love me. I know you love me. Come speak to me. I need you. What I have in front of me is this wall that says I'm not worthy really for him to show me who he is. I'm not worthy to really let him tell me how good he is. For those of you that are struggling to hear him, but you are longing to hear him, the invitation is tonight. God is first, it's first admitting, God, I have these walls up that separate you from me. I can't put a name on them. I can't describe exactly what they are, but I have them, and I know they're keeping you from showing me who you are. Why don't you just repeat after me? God, I invite you to come behind my walls. I invite you to invade me. Come really show my heart who you are. Yeah, God, would you just begin to release your love upon us tonight? God, would you just begin to speak your truth upon us tonight? God, we do want to be a people of faith. We want to be known by faith. And to be known by faith, God, we need to know who you are. We need to be living in reaction to who you are. Come and invade us tonight, God. Come and speak to our hearts directly, personally. Come to us, God. Because the truth of who he is, guys, is that he loved each and every one of us so much that he was willing to think that he was nothing in comparison. He loves each one of us so much that he was willing to say, it's nothing of me to give my life for you. The greatest act of faith ever seen on this earth was that moment when Jesus committed himself to the Father. He could no longer feel the presence of the Father because all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our pain had come upon him. He could no longer feel the Father, but he committed himself and he said, God, not your will, but my will. He said, into your hands I commit my spirit. Why don't you just say that, guys? Into your hands, God, I commit my spirit. I commit my life. Well, guys, I don't want you to leave a place if you're in with God. But that's what I have. If you want to come up and have me pray with you, or have some of the leaders pray with you, I'm going to open up the front tonight. Come forward. If you're in a place with God, stay in that place. Allow him to continue to speak to your heart. If you need to go, go. If you want to stay, stay. Again, the front's open, so... We love you. Be blessed, everyone.